Psalms 117. I know it's a little bit later, folks, but we're going to read this entire psalm. I feel like it's important. I don't want to shorten it. I want us to get all that it has, all right? Come on now. Come on. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. You ought to pray for me tonight. I don't know what's wrong. I shouldn't have got that nap. All right. Oh, praise. Look at this. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Well, that's good. We need to. So how do we praise him? Well, look at verse 2. For his, I like this, merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Boy, there's a couple good things to praise the Lord about right there. His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. And then again, praise ye the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being a kind and merciful Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we are going to see what we can do to incorporate that into our lives. We've seen it from your gracious hand. We've experienced the kindness of God so many times. And so, Lord, we've got kind of a different emphasis for May, and we want to kind of get it kicked off and started out right tonight. So help us, Lord. And we just don't know. I think we could see some miracles. I think we could see some awful good things this month, Lord, if we just took the instruction from the Bible, Lord, that revolves around the subject of kindness and really incorporate it into our lives. Now help the preacher tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, so much. Very good. Watch this. All right, let me talk to you a little bit about the Be the Difference, Blessed Baptist Church 2026 Monthly Planner. And I really didn't say a whole lot about it in April, but boy, we experienced some amazing things in April. So before we go into May, let's go back and catch our book up a little bit. I've got this one I just keep under the pulpit so I can always, when I pull it out, I need it. But that Be the Difference by bringing someone to Jesus. Amazing. Not only the number of folks that were saved in the last month, but the number of different people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that God allowed to win somebody to Christ. Just incredible. And so folks, you know what? That honestly ought to be the theme every month, no matter what the other themes are. Let's continue to share the gospel. Let's not pass up an opportunity. Let's still pass out tracts. You enjoyed the Bible giveaway? We got another one of those we're going to crank up. We may do a couple of those this summer and just keep it rolling and keep it going. But so bringing someone to Jesus. You had a chance to memorize the verse, monthly scripture, and a place to sign there. Gospel tracts point people to Jesus, and the goal for each person to pass out 25 tracts in April. I hope that you hit that goal, and if you did, then put it down and sign it. How about this? Bringing visitors to church helps get them to Jesus. This is the month, Blessed Baptist Church Spring Attendance Campaign. Many, many, many of you brought first-time visitors to church. But record that. Sign it. You say, why, preacher? Because you can look back later. You don't think you're going to forget these things. Preacher, I'll never forget this. Yeah, you will. And you know what? Listen, there's people I led to the Lord when I was in my 20s and 30s, and honestly, I don't remember. That sounds terrible, but you're not always going to remember everything. And boy, that's going to give you something. Then let's go sowing and bring someone to Jesus. I was blessed to share the gospel with so many different people. And you think back through April. How many times did you just get to go through the plan of salvation? Whether they got saved or not, you at least told them. And then I was blessed to lead to Christ. And it is a place where you can write down the people this month. And I was thinking back as I was filling mine out, praising the Lord for the ones that I got to see actually come to Christ. Not everybody you witness to is going to get saved. But if you witness to enough people, some of them will get saved. And then winning my family to Christ. And then this, write down soul winning memories from this month and anything else the Lord taught you along the way. And you say, well, preacher, I didn't get to lead somebody to Christ. Let me ask you this. Did you drive a bus? And from that bus, did somebody get saved? Hey, write it down. Write it down. Did you teach a Sunday school class? Yeah, but I didn't lead them to Christ. I got saved in junior church. I think what you did might have something to do with it, all right? And so that's what we all do. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. And so anything and everything, this would be a really, really sweet time of filling this out. And then we turn, of course, into May then. And again, wow, May came fast. But We decided to do this. This is going to be fun. If you'll get involved, you'll have the time of your life. I promise you. Be the difference through random acts of kindness. Now, that was a phrase that has basically been, purported and promoted in our society because it is a twist on another phrase that, by the way, is a horrible thing. How many times do you hear on the news a report of a random act of violence? And folks, our society's going crazy. I mean, you can hardly read the paper. You might read the paper more or watch the news and not read about something that's just incredibly senseless. Somebody that has no connection with another person, just doing something mean or wicked. There was a little phase that went around. I don't hate to say this out loud, but several years ago, there was a phase going around where these, you know, hoodlums in the inner city were just walking past people randomly on the street. They'd just be on a side street walking by them. And one of the gang members would try to all of a sudden, just as they were passing, see with one punch if they could knock that person out cold. And they had friends that were videotaping it. Well, anybody that's idiot enough to do that isn't too bright, because then they not only videotaped it, they put it where people could watch it, and they ended up on jail. I mean, you know, it's, come on. You know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Amen. But can you imagine? And some of those that they were doing this to were elderly people. And what in the world, folks, listen to me. Don't tell me that person's not possessed by the devil. You have to give yourself over to a level of satanic control to think that that is some kind of sport. But as the devil more and more is finding place in the hearts and lives of people, we're seeing more and more violence. And if you study it, folks, evil in the Bible is always connected with violence, and righteousness is always connected with peace. Okay, so some of this is hard for us to wrap our brain around. I wrote some other stories here. I'm not going to take the time to read, but I mean, I could pull news stories out almost any week of the year. Just somebody that just was minding their own business. One elderly man was sitting out on the outside, of a restaurant. Sometimes they go out into the, you know, sidewalk and have a seating area in the cities. And he's just sitting there, minding his own business. And a young man came by, walked in, picked up a chair, turned around and just hit this man as hard as he could, and then laughed and walked off. Now, don't tell me that's not the devil. Don't tell me that's not the devil. And so anyway, all right, if that's what the devil's doing, then let's do the opposite. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to maybe say, why don't we commit, we want to use the word commit, random acts of kindness. So that's what we're going to focus on. And so kindness begins at home. So I want to give you young people, everybody, this is for young people, everybody, an assignment. Here we go. Nothing creates a sweeter spirit in the home like random acts of loving kindness. Come on, let's up our game. Be the difference challenge. Plan purposefully 5 acts of kindness bestowed upon different family members. By the way, well, which one? How do I do? What do I do? That's why you got the Holy Spirit. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Why don't you pray about it? And think about who in your family or extended family just needs a little kindness shown to them, and how are you going to do it? Kids, sometimes you're like, I don't really know what to do. Talk to mom and dad about it. It's okay to talk to mom and dad about it. But how about let's begin at home. Then, of course, Mother's Day's next week. Now, come on, I'm giving everybody fair warning. You got an entire week. Moms deserve our best kindness. Okay, so you got a week to think about it, young people. Man alive, your mom does so many things for you and shows you so much kindness. And so, boy, let's come on. Let's really outdo ourselves this week. And you think about that. And then I like this one. Spread kindness in your local church. Now I put in here, now for some fun. And by the way, I do love secrets. And here we go, kids. It's right up your alley. I wrote in here, it's time to get sneaky in church. Now, some of you are already masterful at this, okay? But we just want you to turn it to good for a change. Time to get sneaky. Think about this. Secret. Here's the Be the Challenge, Difference Challenge. Secretly do 5 random acts of kindness for someone here in our church family. This has to be done anonymously. So do your best not to get caught. Write down who you blessed and how you blessed them. By the way, don't forget our bus kids and don't forget the new families. And I want you to also look at our regular core crowd. Let's just not get so focused on that. We don't reach out to some of the new ones or maybe some of the ones that aren't as much of a core member. And then, of course, spread kindness everywhere you go. And there's a place on here where, again, you just ask the Holy Spirit. Now, think about this. Some of the sweetest acts of kindness are bestowed on complete strangers or people from your past. Think about people from your past that made a difference in your life. Wouldn't it be great if they just out of nowhere heard somebody, heard from you 15, 20, 25 years later and just say, hey, I never will forget what you did to be a blessing to our family or to be a blessing to me. And so there's all kinds of ideas. Donate blood. Leave a positive review for a local restaurant you love. Write a thank you note to someone who has inspired you. Give an extra generous tip. Return a couple of shopping carts on your way into the store. You know, if everybody would do that, they wouldn't need those guys out there. Have you ever thought you're walking right past shopping carts to go in and get a shopping cart that you're going to leave in the parking lot? Wake up, all right? Help the store out a little bit, all right? Help the people that work there. Return. So offer to buy coffee for the pastor. I'm sorry, for the person behind you in line. Give a compliment to a stranger. Take a meal to a widow or widower. Donate items to Goodwill. Offer to babysit for free. Send a kind and encouragement text message to someone. Pay for someone else's meal at a restaurant. Thank someone from your past who made a difference in your life. Listen, that's just to get the wheel started, all right? I don't care what you do. God will tell you, and he'll show you. Now, let's learn about our Heavenly Father, first of all, and kind of an introduction. Folks, we have a kind Heavenly Father. That's what this psalm is all about. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness. God's kindness is described as merciful. He not only employs graciousness and goodness as he deals with us, but think about this. He always baptizes his kindness in mercy. Now, preacher, what is mercy? Okay, let's be reminded. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we really deserve. So a lot of times, folks, not only is he kind to me, come on, he is kind to me even though I've done nothing to deserve it and sometimes have done the opposite. And so if that's the standard that's being set by our Heavenly Father, we shouldn't say, well, who in the church deserves it? You don't want to hear what Pastor Jerry has to say when you start talking about what you deserve, okay? Because you deserve what I deserve. Well, let's not go down that road. How about some merciful kindness? How about being a blessing just out of the blue to somebody that maybe sat there after you get done thinking, well, I've never even done anything for them. I don't even know them. Why would they do something so nice to me? That's how I feel every time I talk to my Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father extended to us the greatest act of kindness when he sent Jesus Christ to die on an old rugged cross. And folks, then having set the example, our Heavenly Father expects his children to be kind. He said, listen, you've received merciful kindness. So as my children, by the way, there ought to be a family resemblance. Come on, if God is our Heavenly Father, there ought to be some family resemblance. If you see Jerry Ross working on somebody, I'm trying to screw something, you'll see my tongue go out like that a little bit. You know why? Because my dad's tongue always went out like that when he, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's genetic. I think it's worth studying. I really do. I think I might donate my body to science and see, is this going to be kept all the way down? You know, I haven't talked to my daughters and my grandkids. We got to figure out this. You know, we got to break this generational problem of not being able to do something like that. But hey, there ought to be a family resemblance. If God's your Heavenly Father, then somebody ought to say, you know what? You resemble your dad. That reminds me of your dad. Come on, kids. Have you ever had that? And some of you said, help me, Jesus. Yeah. That sounds like something your dad would say. Hey, well, why aren't they recognizing who our Father is? And if God's been so kind to us, then he, in our text and in our memory verse for this week, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Watch this, even, and be ye kind one to another. Now God said, listen, I've been kind to you, be kind to each other. Okay, tender hearted. All right, Lord, don't get all calloused hearted. Don't get all hard hearted. You know, keep a tender heart. Forgiving one another. Come on. Anybody here not been forgiven a million times? All right, then why do we not have a right? Why do we have any right to withhold forgiveness? And even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Well, there it is. That's the standard. Now, folks, kindness is a command given to us by our Heavenly Father. He says in Romans 12:10, be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Boy, that's not how the natural man wants to live. But we're not supposed to let the natural man, come on, that Adamic nature, we're not supposed to let the old man run our lives. We're supposed to live in a supernatural way, not a natural way. And think about that, in honor, preferring one another. And so we have to kind of let the Holy Spirit rewire the way we think. Come on, kids, some of you are still the ones that will knock down three people to get to the front of the line. Now, come on now. Well, why don't you just step back and let everybody else go? Why do you always need to be first? Why don't you learn what it is to prefer someone above yourself? Make sure they're all taken care of, okay? You know, we had that big food Sunday, and you know what, folks? Listen, I'm not mad at anybody, but just let me just see if I can help you. When we did the Friends and Family Sunday, I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you, 80% of our church did fine. But why in the world are visitors at the back of the line while members are at the front of the line? First-time visitors. I mean, let's just kind of, I'm not mad. And there'd have been a day I probably would have done it. But at some point, come on, shouldn't something wake up? Well, we've got first-time visitors. Why aren't we making sure they're at the front of the line? And by the way, if I don't get any food at all, I'm just fine. I want to make sure they're taken care of. I want to walk around and get to know them. You know, come on. And so we're talking about this idea of preferring. And God wants that. He wants that. Think about that. Now, how about this verse? Well, you talk about a challenge. Jesus teaching in Luke chapter 6. But as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's a great way to learn how to be kindness and to have empathy with people. What if you were a first-time visitor? What if it's first time at Blessed Old Baptist Church? How would you want to be treated? Okay, so there you go. For if you love, watch this, for you love them which love you. Here's the question, what think of you? Now, some of you are not careful. You're going to spend the whole time doing nice things for people that do nice things for you. And the Bible says, what think of you? You know what God's looking down, rolling his eyes. Really? That's what you got? That's it? Well, people are nice to me, I'll be nice to them. Really? That's the world. That's how the lost live. For sinners also love those that love them. I didn't make it up. There it is. And if you do good to them, which do good to you, what thank of you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. Watch this. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. All of a sudden, people's going to say, man alive, something's going on here. Come on, all of a sudden we're resembling our Father. We're resembling our Father. For he, talking about God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Amen. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, folks, I want to say, all you young people, listen to preacher for a minute. And it's good for all to. It's a sin to be unkind. That's just a sin. If you've been unkind to your sister, you've been unkind to your brother, you've been unkind to your parents, you've been unkind to somebody else at the church, you've been unkind in the school this week, I'm sorry, that's a sin, and you need to get it right. It's a dirty black spot on your heart. You need to stop making excuses about it. You need to, come on, get to an altar tonight, get it right, get it clean, go find that person, apologize, get it right, get it clean. We got to start looking at unkindness for what it is. Okay, it's also a sin to stay neutral in this area of our life. It's a sin to withhold kindness when we have it in our power to be kind. Well, preacher, I wasn't unkind, so I must have been kind. No, you can be in between. Okay, and I shared this with our young people, and I preached it down at Madison. But you know, folks, there's a timeline. Remember the timeline that you got taught in school on? And there are to my left, your right to my left, positive numbers. Positive 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's negative 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then in the middle, there is a zero. Well, I'm not unkind, but I'm not kind, so you're a zero. You're a zero. You're making zero impact in anybody's life. You're lukewarm. I mean, you don't want to come out and be enthusiastic about anything that has to do with church or God, because, or you don't want to go out of your way to be a blessing to somebody. Now, maybe you're not doing this, but you're not doing this. Well, you're a zero. I don't want to spend my life having zero impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about that. Now, Colossians 3:12, and I'm reading a lot. We're going to go to 2 Peter in just a minute, but let me just build up to this last thought. Kindness must be put on every day. Preacher, everything I've said, I promise you, we all know this. I don't think there's anybody that's heard anything new so far. And if we know it, why are we so rotten at it? That's what I had to ask myself. I know this. And yet, why am I so bad at it sometimes? Okay, here's something that'll help you. Kindness must be put on every day. Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, if you'll do this for, I promise you, if you do this for, 30 days, 31 days in May, whatever it is, if you'll do this consistently, where you wake up every morning after you do your devotions, you say, now, I need to get spiritually dressed and spiritually ready for today, so I'm going to put on the bowels of mercy, I'm going to put on kindness, I'm going to put on humbleness of mind, I'm going to purposely put on meekness and long-suffering, I'm going to put those on before I leave the house. Kindness must be put on every day, because folks, we know this stuff, but if we don't remind ourselves of it as we leave the house every single day of our lives, we will fail at it, okay? And so God encourages, put on kindness every day. Let me give you this thought. Kindness ought to be a part of the law of our lips. Proverbs 31:26, talking about the virtuous woman. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. Well, young ladies, let me help you with this. You want to be a virtuous woman? Then you need to pass some laws in the use of your tongue. Okay, and this applies to all of us, but it's in Proverbs 31, so let's talk about it in context for a minute. Young ladies, adult ladies, you need to pass some laws about what you'll use that tongue for and what you will not. And the Bible says the virtuous woman has literally, think about this, she has passed something called the law of kindness when it comes to the use of her tongue. You know, sometimes I'll go to funerals and there'll be an elderly person, and maybe I didn't know the family well. And I will have children and grandchildren come up and say this about somebody I don't know. So I'm assuming it's true. If many of them, multiple of them come up and say it, I'm assuming it's true. They'll say, you know what? In all the years, I never heard grandma ever say one bad thing about another person. Some of you might know somebody like that. Well, I don't know grandma, but I'll tell you what, at some point, she learned this. And she just passed the law. Okay? I'm not using this for unkindness. I'm going to pass a law where, and the law is this. You know what? If I'm using my tongue, I'm going to use it in kindness. Kindness ought to affect the way we speak, the way we speak. So think about that. When we talked about Ephesians chapter number 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind. So you know what? One of the things you have to get rid of if you're going to add kindness is you got to stop it. Okay? Saying something snarky isn't a blessing. Finding a way to have this little put down on somebody isn't a blessing. Pointing out somebody's faults isn't a blessing. I don't know when God, the Holy Spirit died and put you in charge. Now, why don't you go spread some kindness? Why don't you say something that's going to be encouraging? Why don't you lift somebody? Lift somebody. Yeah. And now, I got to thinking, if it's so obvious, we know this is true, why are we so bad at it sometimes? And then I thought, well, we got to put it on every day. And by the way, we got to every day remind ourselves we got a law when it comes to the use of our lips. And we're going to use our lips and pass the law of kindness. Now, I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter number one, 2 Peter chapter number one. We'll walk through this real quick, but I'm going to show you the main reason that I think all of us that know to do this, come on, this will help us all, I promise you. This is for the pulpit and this is for the pew. Your preacher needs it as much as you do. So listen up, folks. I'm going to show you why I think that some people are just really good at kindness and some people have to work so hard at it, okay? And so let's look at this. In 2 Peter, what did I tell you? I tell you first or second? 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you'll look in verse number 5. Now notice this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now folks, here's what I want to give you. You know why sometimes we're so bad at doing something that we know and it's so obvious to do? Is because, watch this, kindness is to be built on godliness. If you're failing in kindness, you're probably failing in godliness. Now think about this. He's talking to some new converts, and I kind of brought this so that I could teach you this, and you could see it. We'll use a little bit of an illustration, but the first thing he lists in this is faith. Okay, so folks, faith is the foundation. Faith is the first thing we've got to add to. What does faith mean there? If you look up that word, it literally means a reliance upon Christ for salvation. It starts with getting saved. It starts with getting saved. And so once we get saved, we're able to produce brotherly kindness. It's a process. It's a result of us adding the next thing, then adding the next thing, then adding the next thing, and then adding the next thing. And if we take care of all of the foundational things, when we get to brotherly kindness, it's just a part of who we are. This is good for us to ask from time to time. Is kindness a part of who you are? Or is it something that you have to do that's unnatural to you, where you have to almost make yourself do it? Let me tell you why. We're not getting to godliness. You get to godliness, the next thing that comes pretty easy. This matter of living a holy life and a pure life and a godly life, walking with the Lord, praying, staying humble before the Lord. Come on, not allowing sins to control you. Really, really, what do you think about godliness? What is that, godliness? It means I'm trying to be like my Father. I'm just trying to be like my Father. Preacher, how do I get there? Because I feel like, man alive, I mean, this month, I'm going to have to write it down on the calendar, and I'm going to have to make sure, and I'm 5 in a month? 5? Folks, you should have already done 5 today. It ought to be as normal as breathing. It shouldn't be what you do, it should be who you are. So, preach, well, I'm not there. Okay, well, let's work on it then, okay? That's all right. And so what do we add to our faith? What's the very first thing we add to our faith? Virtue. Now that's an incredible word. It means valor or it means excellence. Valor or excellence in morality. A high moral code of conduct. Now folks, once somebody gets saved, you know what? The Bible says that there's some things they should mortify. We don't have time to teach it, but go back to Colossians chapter 3. It says, once you get saved, you mortify something. You know what that means? Murder, kill. You don't grow out of it. You don't put it off. You kill it. Every one of the sins that's listed are sexual sins. Okay? And so, you know, when somebody gets saved, you know what we've got to deal with and help them deal with right away? Right away. I understand there's some things that people do have to grow on. There's a growth process. But well, folks, I'm sorry with you. If you're shacking up and you truly get saved, what's the first thing you need to do? You need to take care of that. Yes, all right, come on now. And so you have to decide that I'm gonna pass in my life a high moral code of conduct. There's certain things I will not do. There's certain things I will not look at. There's certain things I will not be involved with. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be faithful to my God. I'm going to keep a pure mind. Virtue. Virtue. Okay, and then you know what? After you do that, you can start learning some things. And what is knowledge, preacher? Well, I think it's obvious, but knowledge comes from a diligent study of the Bible. You got to get in the book. Now, preacher, I thought we were talking about kindness. We're getting there. But if you, come on, sneak around listening to pornography, it doesn't surprise me that you can't manage kindness. If you don't even read your Bible, come on, some of you checked out when I started preaching, and right now, because I'm talking to you, you just came back. Because you don't hunger and thirst after the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom that this book contains. Folks, I love the Bible. I love spending time studying the Bible. I love spending time reading the Bible. And I'm constantly still trying to gather more and more knowledge. Okay, so that should never quit. And then all of a sudden, as you do that, then all of a sudden we can start work on temperance. And what's that? Self-control. Self-control, okay. We've had young people that are saved, and you know what? We've had parents come in. They've got a kid that's just, I mean, they're off the leash. They got an anger problem. They're taking them down to some therapist, some psychologist, humanistic psychologist. You know what? Wants to make excuses for them, blame everybody else in their life, and then medicate them. That doesn't teach them self-control. Okay, so you know what you have to learn with the help of what you've learned from the Bible? All of a sudden, you start having the information you need to know how to exhibit self-control in your life. All of a sudden, it's like, well, I just can't help it. And by the way, come on, yes, you can. Yes, you can. With God's help, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God can get you on the victory side, but you got to deal with the self-control. All right? Now, notice where we're going here. And then the next one. Woo! Oh, help me, Jesus. All right? Patience. And so you know why sometimes you have a hard time with self-control? Because patience, it requires patience to have self-control. All right, you know what? You have to all of a sudden be more worried about other people than you. And you have to sometimes, come on, that sermon this morning, I promise you, if you listen to it, it'll help you so much. Folks, you have to learn to just carry some things, endure some things. And one of the things that tribulation is sent to in our life is to increase our patience. Patience is such an important part of the Christian life. Listen, God does not work on my timetable. And I'm supposed to work on his timetable. And if I'm still waiting for an answer, it's all right. It's good. It's good for me. Teaches me patience. Teaches me to trust God for the long haul, you know. And so after that, now we're ready. We're just about ready to tackle this one. And folks, there it is, godliness. And all of a sudden, you know, you think about that. You start by receiving Christ as your Savior. You decide, I'm going to take a look at my life and I'm going to put a very high moral code of conduct into my life. I'm going to mortify those fleshly sins. I'm going to get into the book. I'm going to start working on self-control. And then, you know what? I'm going to work on my patience. That means cheerful endurance. Boy, right, exactly what we taught this morning. Cheerful endurance, patient consistency. You know what, folks? I am going to start giving to other people what God has given to me, and God has been patient with me. Amen. So why can't I be patient with that new convert? Yes. Come on, why can't I be a little more patient with the children? Yes. Come on, husbands, why can't I be a little more patient with my wife? That's right. Yes, sir. By the way, look right up here. Why can't you be a little more patient with yourself? True. Some of you, you're your own worst critic. And it's easy to do. But you know what? God remembers your dust. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying, aren't you glad God remembers we're dust? And so we're not always going to get it right. And when we don't, we talk to the Heavenly Father about it. And we get it worked out. And you know what he says? All right, let's go. Let's do better. Patience. But godliness means a commitment to holiness. And folks, we cannot get away here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on preaching on holiness. Independent Fundamental Baptists used to be known for their holiness. That's not what I'm seeing in many Independent Fundamental Baptist churches anymore. And we're dropping standards. We're dropping dress standards. We're changing our music. We're going places, worldly places we would have never gone. We're watching things on TV. We're listening to things on the internet, on a podcast, or that we never would have. And, you know, we need to get back to some old-fashioned godliness. Now watch this. All of a sudden now, boom. That's not that hard. You think about it. Jesus saved me. And you know what? I will have a zero tolerance when it comes to fleshly sins in my life. And you know what? I'm going to get into the Bible and I'm going to study it. I'm going to gain all the knowledge I can. And then, Lord, with that knowledge, what I learned from the Bible is going to help me with self-control. And then, you know what? Then all of a sudden, I'm going to be able to exercise patience, a cheerful endurance. And then, you know what? As I get into the Bible more and God points out things in my life that I need to get straightened out, I'm going to get them straightened out. I want to live a godly life, a holy life. And all of a sudden, on top of godliness, all of a sudden, it's not what you're doing anymore. It's who you are. It's as natural as breathing. Now listen, I still put the challenge out there. But you know what? Can I say this? Kindness shouldn't be a challenge. It should be a lifestyle. I mean, think about this week. Everybody that God allowed you to interact with, you had a chance to show them kindness. Okay? You have a chance to show them kindness. And so all of a sudden, once we get the kindness, then all of a sudden God gives us something that can only come from Him. And that word charity there, that's talking about agape love. That's talking about a love that is on the same level as God had for us. And all of a sudden, folks, I don't know if you can understand this or not. I don't make these things up. I don't say this to make people feel good. I see first-time visitors come in the door, and I don't know their name yet, yet I love them. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I haven't had one conversation. I just look back here, and I see a family, and I just say, oh, God, bless them. Okay? Now, we all like to be there. Are you saved? Come on. Are you really saved? Because if you don't have the foundation where you've had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you saw yourself as that sinner. You fell under conviction of sin. Under conviction of sin. Come on. Under the wooing of the Father as He draws you to the Holy, draws you to Himself, all of a sudden in a state of conviction over our sin, and a thankfulness when we hear the gospel and realize Jesus did that for me. And all of a sudden we get saved and that changes things. I mean, nothing ever is going to be the same. But if that's all we do, and we won't go here, 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 then why do you think we're going to get that? Does that make sense to you? And so there's something we want to work on here, okay? I don't want you to just take a month and work on an assignment where I'm going to be out of character 5 times. And stop what I'm doing and make myself go be nice to someone. And I'm going to try to do it as quick as possible so I can go back to being who I am. That's not the goal. All right. So wait a minute. Okay. Is this about kindness? Sure. Is it about making an impact on other people? Sure. What is it really about? It's about, God, you change whatever you need to change in me so that this is just a natural part of who I am. Not because it's easy for me, not because it's natural for me, but because you have changed me. And because you've changed me, I've got a chance to be the difference in somebody else's life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God. What a month. What a month. This could be so much fun. I hope families get excited about it. I hope kids get excited about it. I hope teenagers get excited about it. Oh, Lord, I'm excited about it. And Lord, I'm already on high alert. I'm already asking, dear God. I want to see what you would see, and I want to do what you would do if you walked in my shoes for a month. And so, Lord, but as we are striving to do these things, Lord, help us to go back through this incredible list in 2 Peter and help us to really say, okay, maybe there's a reason that kindness is such a challenge to me. In which of these foundational truths have I not grasped? Which of these steps of grace and growth have I not taken? And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that this would be a life-changing month. And use it, dear God, to make us better for you. We pray in Jesus' name.